And so we move on to the next item, Mr. Robertson.
So now I will introduce our State Water Board liaison, Didi Diadamo, back here. Didi managed to escape Sacramento and is going to offer some addendums to the liaison report that I provided yesterday.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to sneak onto your agenda. I was able to sort of escape. We're in the middle of water fix hearings, and we had our calendar is completely blocked out until sometime in July. And yesterday, the department gave us an update on the project, and there was a flurry of motions. And so we've had a little reprieve. We'll be starting up in about a week and a half. Again on water fix. And so I didn't have much time to prepare for coming here, but I did want to at least update you on our ag order that we adopted just on Wednesday. So hot off the press, you will be receiving a final copy of what was adopted. We did make some changes at the meeting, and I just would like to report to you from my perspective. I felt that what started off as sort of a bumpy road turned into a very good dialogue with all of the stakeholders involved. I think I may have mentioned to you before that we were really encouraging maybe a coalition of the willing, you know, from the center, to make some suggestions to our board in going forward on grappling with some very challenging issues. And so we did receive from a coalition of ag and EJ stakeholders, not all, but just, you know, those that were interested in taking us up on our offer. And so much of that found its way into the order. And what I'm excited about is now this improved dialogue between stakeholders. And so I would say for the most part, we wanted to do what we could. Of course, we gave it a thoughtful review, but we wanted to do what we could to be supportive of that compromise language. We did make some changes, but we also encouraged the groups to continue to talk because now, of course, the regional boards will be going through the bulk of the work, and that's implementation of the order. I would encourage you to actually read through the order. It's not a long document. It's kind of an easy read, and there's some good language in there about sort of our thinking behind the changes. So the key changes that we're expecting all regional boards to make is that, and the order is clear where it's precedential and not precedential. But sort of the key areas that we are expecting maybe a more robust reporting with respect to nitrogen applied. So we're looking for all sources of nitrogen applied, organic sources as well as synthetic. And then, of course, the key is nitrogen applied from the water, from the irrigation source. And so that's a big change. And then we're also looking for, this is, you know, information or an approach that came to us from between the expert panel and then also some good discussions from the scientists involved in this, and that is we're looking for information on nitrogen removed. So we're looking for yield information and nitrogen removed from the field. We had this is a kind of a challenging area for this region because we received information about just the complexity of the fields and all the different types of crops and then different types of harvesting methods. Just because you have a field of lettuce doesn't mean it's all getting harvested and removed in the same way. And then also perhaps some challenges with the ability to calculate. And so we did, I came down here and had several meetings with growers, and so did our staff, and we were able to make some accommodations in the language, giving the regional board some further discretion on how to best implement that nitrogen, or that nitrogen-removed component that's in the order. So we don't expect that it's going to be easy because of the complexities over here, and so it was important to give you all the discretion. And then just a couple of areas that I wanted to point out. This compromise resulted, because the focus was on coalitions in the East San Joaquin area, and the desire and on the part of the coalitions to maintain that anonymity that's very important for to keep their numbers high with participants in the coalition. But sort of the exchange, it seemed, was also a more robust program, more robust in terms of reporting additional information and additional frequency, but also the ability to put together a methodology for groundwater protection targets in high priority areas. So in areas where there's a particular concern, we're, we now have language in the order that is precedential with respect to if there is a coalition, but then we even went further recognizing that this area at this time does not have a similar model at this point, even though we want to encourage you to be open to coalitions, but we felt that it was important to have that groundwater protection target language and a methodology or a similar methodology that was put together. This is a new concept. I don't know that I'd be able to answer specific questions about what it would look like, but it provides for a process to develop those groundwater protection targets. And after all, we're looking at the whole idea here is to improve groundwater and to provide for greater access to safe drinking water. So I think that's a new area that you all would be particularly interested in, particularly because of the high levels of nitrate contamination in this region. Okay, that's pretty much covers that order. And then I left my phone over there, but we did just develop an updated list on our state board priorities for the year. And so I will provide a list to John, but many of these items I shared with you before, we're looking to close out in this year. The wetlands issue, bacteria, toxicity. A big priority is working with the regions on the implementation of cannabis. Of course, on the water rights side, wrapping up the water fix hearing and the Bay Delta plan. And let's see, there was one other thing that I wanted to, that's escaping me now. Oh, the winery general order. That is a priority, and thank you for your involvement in that, and I know we're going to be busy working on that, and at this point, even though it's priority for completion for this year, I will say that I think we have still a long way to go before we can actually achieve that target. So I know that we'll be working very closely on it. Oh, and jumping back to the ag order. Sorry for jumping around here. I thought that the dialogue, when I came down here to meet with several different groups of growers on the ag order, I thought it was a very good, positive dialogue. And I probably have stronger relationships in the San Joaquin Valley grower community than this region, just because, you know, that's where I've lived and worked for many years. I felt that that dialogue, from my perspective, is definitely worth continuing, and I would like to do anything I can to work with you all and your stakeholders as you move forward in the development of the order. I just talked with our staff. Our staff was just fantastic, really working through issues to the point that I felt that we got pretty close to finding the sweet spot. And I asked our staff to make themselves available to you all. And if you're interested, to come to one of your meetings and provide a presentation on the ag order, just because there's, you know, so many new things in the order. So if that's something you'd be interested in, we'd like to set that up. So, again, thanks for the opportunity to sneak on the agenda, and good to see you all.
I have one question request related to the thank you, first of all. Thank you for the long night drive and the drive you'll have going back, too. Thanks for taking the time. With respect to the Winery General Order, if I've spoken with Division of Water Quality, but because you're here, I'll take this opportunity. I've asked that we have stakeholder outreach meetings here in this region. We have 400 to 500 wineries in the region. I think it helps play, it lays the groundwork for the general order as it comes out. We've been involved with staff at State Board in the development, want to support it, and we think that this is a key step in getting buy-in here locally with the, you know, hundreds of wineries we have.
Definitely. Good suggestion, and I will follow up on it. And if we're going to have a stakeholder meeting, maybe a tour, if you think that there's an operation in particular that could help to illustrate unique characteristics of the region.
So just a quick question, Dee Dee. I know that WaterFix has taken a tremendous amount of time to all of you at state level, and, you know, your meeting was postponed or canceled. Any crystal ball of when eventually that item will have been fully addressed, allowing then the state board members to be able to address all the other issues that you have on the agenda for 2018?
Right. Well, it just first of all, we're under ex parte restrictions, and different from our what we think of as ex parte for the orders, the general orders. We are under strict ex parte restrictions from discussing matters controversial or significant procedural, as well as any substantive issues. But what I can tell you is that our calendar is blocked out until, I believe, the end of July. And the department is moving forward with its petition, and they haven't indicated any desire to, at this point, slow things down. They did make an announcement yesterday, which led to a flurry of motions, and their announcement you can probably have probably picked up in the press as far as staging the project. And so there were a number of motions that were that resulted, I think, from that announcement, and our hearing officers felt that it was prudent to just take it under advisement. I think that there'll be some additional questions posed of the parties that will come out next week, and so I don't foresee you know, other than maybe periodic postponements in order to provide the parties an opportunity to thoughtfully respond to requests. It'll keep going until July, you know, perhaps even longer.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. And the first hand was Mr. Johnson. Then we'll have...
First, I just wanted to reinforce a little what Mr. Robertson said. Monterey County is, despite the fame of Napa and Sonoma for wine, with 45,000 acres, Monterey County is the largest premium varietal wine grape growing region in the state. So it really has what happens with the winery order really has impact here, and I think would really add something to the discussion if we could have a stakeholders meeting here. That's all I've got.
So I'll continue here on my left. Mayor Delgado?
Yes. Thanks for being here, Dee Dee. Just wanted to know if you could give us a snapshot update of 623.
623, yes. So 623, I've been busy working on other things, so I might not have the most recent information. But the language that was circulated at the end of session, I believe, is still the current version of the bill. In the meantime, the governor has made this official. It's a priority, absolutely in support of addressing this issue. And there is language in the budget, and we expect that this issue would potentially be resolved as part of the budget trailer bill. So I don't want to mislead you, however, into thinking that the language from the end of session is absolutely what's going forward. I understand that there are discussions amongst the stakeholders and directly with the administration. I have not been involved in those discussions, so I'm not able to give you a sense of where there might be any changes, if any.
Thank you very much.
All right. Ms. Gray, any question?
Thank you for coming.
Mr. Young?
Good morning, Dee Dee. Nice to see you. You know, we hear so much about the East San Joaquin order, and that's just one small part of Region 5. So I'm just curious, because I really don't know, how is the rest of Region 5 being regulated under any kind of, you know, irrigated ag regulation?
I wish I remembered how many coalitions, but there are a number. It's entirely covered by coalitions. And there's one area in particular, and that is in Sacramento Valley, where the best way to characterize their program for rice is low vulnerability and sort of a special, unique circumstance that the regional board has recognized. And we did include language to, you know, allow that discretion to continue. But aside from that, I would best characterize the rest of the region as very similar to East San Joaquin, although East San Joaquin, they were the coalition that was mainly involved in that compromise discussion. And so I would say, you know, maybe more progressive in terms of leadership and openness to different approaches, which is the genesis of that groundwater protection target language. The other coalitions, a number of them spoke out in opposition to that language. There were a number of coalitions that raised concerns, big concerns about cost. East San Joaquin did not. I think their way of characterizing it was that they were 80% happy with what we had in the language. We didn't necessarily hear that from the other coalitions.
Have any of the other coalitions filed appeals with the state board or continued with, you know, litigation challenging?
I don't know the answer to that. I know East San Joaquin, and oftentimes when these petitions are filed, maybe your staff knows, but when these petitions are filed, oftentimes it results in additional petitions being filed in order to, you know, protect their case and make their argument. So I don't know the answer to that, but I can easily find out.
Okay. And then I don't know if you have this information or not, but I thought as long as you're here, I'd ask you about it. We got a letter from a group that was signed by Abby Taylor Silva, Norm Groot, and then it goes through also the Strawberry Commission, Western Growers, Grower Shippers, a number of the county farm bureaus, Groundwater Coalition, and Kay Mercer also signed on to it. And there's a statement in here. This is a December 15th letter that we have on our agenda. But there's a statement here saying that it is highly likely that the State Board's East San Joaquin order will be challenged by one or more subsets of stakeholders. Doesn't define or give any clue as to who those might be. I'm just curious if you have any sense for whether there was enough residual disappointment with your order that it's likely that it's going to be challenged.
Within East San Joaquin?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, at this point, as I understand it, our order directs regional boards as to how to proceed. So there would be another round. This region is going to be updating its order, and then there would be another round over at Region 5 as well to implement the order. And so I expect that there would be additional petitions filed at some point, you know, in various regions. Sort of a dream would be that this program is going to evolve and get us to a place where the regional boards will continue to make updates, and that we will have more collaboration and more doing, actually doing, improving management practices, testing drinking water wells, getting replacement water, and less fighting and contention about the process. So, but I don't expect that that'll happen immediately in the next round. I do sense, especially in the San Joaquin Valley, a movement in that direction. And getting back to your question about some of the coalitions that, you know, may not be in line with East San Joaquin, even though they raised concerns, it wasn't at the level that, you know, when we first released our order, because I think we did address some of their concerns. And then there were other coalitions that I saw in the audience that just chose not to comment for whatever reason. And that's reminding me of something else that I have asked our staff. In the future, if we do get a petition, before we move forward with a draft order, we need to have a workshop. We need to hear from people. We need to hear from the stakeholders, because there's a lot of really good ideas out there on the ground that, you know, we can go on tours and all that, but we're in Sacramento in a big, tall, green building, so, you know, we don't have a monopoly on good ideas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Dr. Hunter?
Thank you so much. It's always important to hear, especially, as you said, hot off the press, what major work is going on from Sacramento. I appreciate your encouraging us to read the order, and I certainly will do that, and I'm aware of how our region's order was considered in different ways, recognizing the differences. And again, I want to thank you for making time to meet with our growers, because there are some very distinct differences in coastal farming, primarily the scale of farming and the number of operators in the seasonal rounds. Moving leasing different acreage from one crop to another crop by the same grower. So there are many complexities that are reflected. And I think the point I want to make is to your comment about the coalitions, how important they are. They certainly have become a backbone for our process of engaging our stakeholders as well. And I am interested in the differences in the way the coalitions are designed. And I think on our side, we definitely, the coalitions formed from within the stakeholder process, and the way that they are organized and the way that they operate seem to be very different, and I observe mm-hmm. that happening with East San Joaquin. And so it 'd be interesting to see going forward what changes the coalitions themselves make. We're very supportive. I'm very supportive of the coalitions. I think they serve a very good function and role. But again, the stakeholders themselves are determining what that coalition actually does for them and how it operates. So it'll be very interesting to see how over time they evolve, to use some of your language, because I think it's likely they will. But I do expect that there will always be some differences because of the differences in the nature of farming, coastal farming versus the inland valley farming. So I appreciate your ability to come and meet with our farmers and get a firsthand view of this. And as we and staff work with State Board, that we are we know that you have a good picture, a good understanding of what we're trying to deal with in terms of that diversity and the range of crops and so forth. So thank you for taking that on immediately, because it's a ride, and you are busy. So I appreciate hearing from you and the firsthand experience you've had with meeting with our growers.
Thank you, and thank you for your comments. Well said. I neglected to mention that there is some language in there on this coalition issue in particular. This was a matter of intense discussion, and I have to disclose, I think we all do this, you know, if we're involved in a program that works, we want to, you know, we become champions of that program, and I feel like, you know, maybe even to the point of being a disciple in certain instances. And I, with my direct experience with coalitions, I actually was there when the San Joaquin Valley en masse opposed the first order, which was the conditional waiver. I mean, they did not want to go there. And so just to see how it changed in big numbers once those coalitions developed, and I guess through this process, what I have learned is that it is very different here. Maybe the coalition model, like what you have in San Joaquin, doesn't work here. And also there may be some different views from the growers themselves, which is something that I'm not accustomed to, looking at how things are in the San Joaquin Valley. So even though a number of us, myself, you know, probably leading the charge, felt that it would be best to require this region to give that as an option, to provide coalitions along with the requirement of anonymity, the support was not there by the entire board. But there was support of encouraging some type of coalition, like what's exists in San Joaquin, but it doesn't have to be an all or nothing approach. And so what I learned through the discussion is what's the value of a coalition? From my perspective, what I have gotten out of you know, my own support for it has been that on changing management practices, that is a really good, quick way to get growers where you have that intermediary, a grower telling a grower, you need to change your ways. And what I have seen that has worked is to have big numbers, and those big numbers are there because of the anonymity. That's why we've got a very high sign-up for coalitions in the San Joaquin Valley. And I know that here there are different views on that, but that doesn't mean that you forget about coalitions, because there are a number of things in this document. We're going, the regions as a whole, we're going to have to get what's called coefficients, you know, targets for what is absorbed by the plant and what's not. And so, and we don't really know exactly what those values are for all crops, especially in this area because of the diversity of crops that are grown. And so we desperately need to have that information. The coalitions can play a big role in that in conjunction with the regional boards and the universities. And then there's the issue of estimating removal. The discretion that this board is going to have, and, you know, do you want to hear from every grower about how they estimate their removal of nitrogen? A coalition could be an excellent source of information to get you to finding the appropriate approach less time. And then the groundwater protection targets. That's another area that coalitions could be very effective in working with you on the establishment of a process, methodology, and implementation. And so the way we chose to deal with this is to encourage coalitions, but not say exactly how or what, and to get a report back from the regions on progress. And then we have some language in there on progress, on management practices, treatment of outliers, and that sort of thing. So hopefully those reports will help us to better assess if we do want to pick one model over another, to have something more quantitative than my gut feel of what works.
Thank you, Didi. Ms. Cervantes. Okay. So, certainly very much appreciate this update. Obviously, this order is what I'll quote-unquote call farm fresh. And so it's going to require a little bit of digesting the information. No puns intended, but, I think we all need to understand a little bit better, the meaning. I think your offer of having state boards giving us a presentation will be valuable because it will help both the board but also our stakeholders to hear directly, what are the nuances that may be in the order as they look into it in more detail. So as a wrap-up, supporting both Mr. Robertson and Mr. Johnson comment about winery order is that Mr. Johnson mentioned Monterey County. We've got to keep in mind also that San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County are, premium and ultra-premium wine regions. So I think that the wineries certainly would welcome a in-depth qualitative analysis by State Board with some of these various winery regions.
Absolutely. Good, healthy competition. Okay. All thank right. you. Good to see you all.
Thank you very much, Didi. Mr. Robertson, please introduce the next item.
So we received a speaker card on this.
Before Didi started? We'll make an exception. Okay, Steve.
I think he got the comment in time to the lab, but the lab didn't get it to Jessica.
The reason being, I asked earlier, if he had a public speaker card. It said no. So
not
now
doing it for public forum. He's doing it basically for item six, which is what Dee Dee's comment was.
So my view is that this was an item not on the agenda for today. And so all of a sudden, here's this new item, and the public should be able to comment on an item that went on for 40 minutes that was not on the agenda.
So 3 minutes, go ahead.
All right, thank you. So first of all, I want to say that the tone and tenor of the East San Joaquin meeting that Didi said was, in my view, not a great conversation. In other words, as it was characterized. First of all, grower after grower, before even the gavel went down on the order, came to the podium and thanked the board for giving them what they got, what they asked for, and for listening to them and changing the order to accommodate their needs. They did not, the state board did not hear that from any other stakeholder. Only the growers walking up one by one saying, thank you for giving us what we asked for. My second point, when the state board came into this region and talked with growers, they did not outreach to any other stakeholder, Didi, Ms. Diadamo, or any other staff member reached out to no other stakeholder group, only the growers. Finally, it was characterized that it was a coalition of the willing that met. It was not a coalition of the willing. It was a coalition of three groups: Clean Water Action, Leadership Council, and Community Water Center that met with a group of growers and worked out a deal. There was some communication back to us, and frankly, I was told that I was to represent Central Coast interests. Then as the process got towards conclusion, I was told, and I was not allowed in the room, I was reported to. And then at the end, I was told, we're not going to take any Central Coast interest into account. I can also say that there was one stakeholder that was literally thrown out of the group when they stuck to their guns on the issue of privacy and aggregation of data. They were then thrown out of the group. It was not a coalition of the willing. It was a coalition of the people that were willing to get along at all costs. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Ms. Jar, I don't like this precedent established because, for example, when regional board members give their updates, we do not open for public comment. That has never been taking place in the past, nor have we allowed for state board liaisons to also open speaker cards. So the unintended consequence now is that I have a series of other speaker cards on this topic. So I will accept these because, you know, I want to be fair, but I don't want to create a precedent when we do have liaisons speaking and giving updates to, you know, have speaker cards the same as we do, then we'd have the same situation for every single board member when they would give their updates to have comments about their activities. I have to say I'm not comfortable with that. We can further discuss this, you know, at some other time about the administrative process. I'm not asking for, you know, a firm solution right now, but
we can discuss it.
This doesn't feel right. So, having said that, next, Mr. Kirk Smith, 3 minutes.
Kirk Schmidt, Preservation, Inc. I agree with Chair Wolf that it's highly unusual to have comments on this item on the agenda. I would not have submitted a card but for what has occurred. Several of us from the Agricultural Committee traveled to Sacramento at four different occasions after the last board workshop in the beginning of January to discuss this order. We participated in review of the various draft orders. We met with staff and board members because of their ex parte requirements. At no time were we told that we were given any exclusivity or that only our position was being considered. We followed the rules of ex parte disclosure and disclosed all the parties that were at all the meetings at each occasion. The fact that probably no one is 100% satisfied with the East San Joaquin order, and indeed the board comments earlier this week on Wednesday were that they thought that they had hit the 80% solution and that they were happy with that. I personally am upset with probably 20% of the order as well, but I believe it was an open and fair process and that all parties had equal opportunity should they have availed themselves of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
While we're waiting for the next person to come up,
I will call the next person, Ms. Kay Mercer. Go ahead.
I will acknowledge that I spoke with, I had access to state board members and staff and I spoke with state board members as part of the ex parte communications that Kirk Schmidt referenced.
Ms. Mercer.
Good morning. And I agree. This is probably an unfortunate way to come about this. I was involved with the conversations with State Water Board members and staff in January. And just to kind of review how things evolved, Central Coast really was not involved with discussions on the East San Joaquin permit, and had no idea what would be in the permit until October, until it was released. At that point in time, when we reviewed some of the presidential requirements from a field-level implementation point of view, they did not appear to be implementable. And a large part of our discussion
with staff and board at that point in time was how do we massage this, staying within the intent of the order to make it so that it can be implemented on the Central Coast by the unique farming system that we have here that does not exist in the East San Joaquin order. Likewise, there are parts of this that I am not satisfied with. I am very uncomfortable with the groundwater targets because they were another precedential requirement that the Central Coast didn't have a lot of input into. But 80% of the order we can live with, and we look forward to working with the stakeholders and with the regional board on trying to move forward so that we can make improvements to water quality while also preserving the viability of the agricultural community on the Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Robertson, please introduce the next item.